You know, planting bulbs, pruning shrubs, and transplanting perennials is all part of the ritual of gardening for millions of people. But for inmates in one of America's toughest prisons? Yes, that's exactly what's going on with inmates at Rikers Island in New York. And on the line with us right now is James Giler, who is the director of Greenhouse and Green Team at Rikers Island. He's also the author of Doing Time in the Garden, Life Lessons Through Prison Horticulture. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm doing great, Peter. It's a real pleasure to be on your show.
Thanks for being on the program with us. This is a rather interesting and unique program, or is it? Is this something that's happening more and more in jails these days?
Well, the uniqueness is, I mean, there's a number of, most prisons in the United States and perhaps even Canada have some kind of, horticulture or agricultural component to what you would call a work detail. What makes this kind of a unique program is that it's not just what happens inside jail, it's what happens when the inmates are released. And that's why we call it a street-to-jail program, because there's a continuum.
So what exactly does happen when they're released?
Well, when they're released, we have a program waiting for them on the outside where they begin work as what we call professional interns. They get paid to work on different landscape projects all over New York City. So that component of the project is run almost like a private landscaping business. You know, an inmate coming out of jail, the next day he has or she has a job with our green team, and they may be on a multi-million dollar penthouse in the middle of Manhattan, you know, installing a garden, or they might be working with an elementary school children's gardening program. Wherever we can get contracts, we work. So it's really a way of ensuring that whatever dreams people cultivate behind bars, they can actualize them when they're released.
It's funny because I just recently read an article which was not about horticulture, but in this case was about cooking.
Yes.
And there was the whole situation where culinary students are literally coming out of prisons, that they're being trained to be chefs behind bars, and so this again is another situation similar to that, where you're giving people a skill that you wouldn't necessarily think would be coming from behind prison walls.
Exactly, and it's interesting because that there is a particular program on Rikers. I mean, Rikers, of course, is the New York City jail system, and it's an actual island. And there's on any given day you'll have 15,000 inmates residing behind bars on Rikers. But the only two programs that offer these real programmatic kinds of skills is the horticulture program that I'm involved with and a culinary program called Fresh Start. So they probably cater to about 50 inmates at any given time, and out of a total population of 14,000. So there's, you know, something strangely amiss in our efforts to rehabilitate a pretty large population of people who keep recycling through the system.
Now, places like Rikers have a reputation. Of course, it shows like Law and Order don't help it.
Right.
But there's a reputation to these kind of facilities. Was it difficult getting programs like this started because of the rough and tumble reputation that some of these locations have?
Well, you know, it really depends on the population you're working with, because we work with sentenced inmates. Those are inmates. You know, in the New York City jail system, if you get a year or less, you stay on Rikers Island. If you get a year and a day, you go to an upstate penitentiary, really even close to the Canadian border.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
We're just sharing the wealth.
Yeah.
So we're really working with low-classified, people behind bars. Rikers definitely had a very hardcore reputation back in the 80s and 70s. They used to say the inmates were running the place, but that really changed in the 90s. I mean, they, under the former commissioner, Mr. Bernie Kerik, who had a pretty hard fall after he was nominated for Homeland Security, he actually did a very good job breaking up gangs and instituting kind of a much more structured approach to quelling violence behind bars. And it's, you know, you still have problems, but nothing like it was in the 70s or 80s. Also, crime has been down. So in 1992, you had a total of 22,000, a peak of 22,000 inmates on Rikers.
And you're
looking now at about 14,000. So there's been a significant reduction in the number of people coming to jail from the peak early 90s, and that was really a result of the crack epidemics.
Now, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that with life in jail, there also comes a certain, shall we call, street cred.
Yes.
Or in-house cred, so to speak. Is that something that's difficult to get around? Because, you know, when you're dealing with someone who's concerned whose very image might be part of the survival within a place like this, saying that, you know, they work with plants is not exactly, you know, a manly type of situation.
Right, exactly. And sometimes the officers don't exactly cultivate the more, you know, they don't cultivate a better image, because when we come in the morning to pick up the inmates, usually an officer will yell, "Flower guys." But the reality is, and of course people, you know, think, what is horticulture? They're from the inner city. Most of them have never thought about putting their hands in the dirt or working with plants, and in some cases animals, because we do keep animals out there. But it's an amazing experience, because they think, you know what? You get to go outside the actual jail, because the gardens, 2 acres of land plus a greenhouse and a classroom are located in the middle of the island, so they actually get to leave the physical structure of the jail, and they get to go outside. So that's kind of one benefit. So they think, well, we'll give this a chance. And then they get out there, and it's really an amazing kind of an amazing vision to see all these guys kind of come off this correction facility bus, and they walk through the gate, and all of a sudden they relax. It's almost like people entering some kind of, you know, paradisical oasis in the midst of a very bleak landscape, because it's pretty beautiful. We have 2 acres of gardens with a gazebo with a waterfall flowing underneath it into a pond, and there's fish and turtles, there's ducks, there's guinea hens, there's bird and butterfly gardens, there's vegetable gardens, there's herb gardens, there's an orchard with a little peace pagoda that we built for 9/11, and, you know, and there's construction going on out there, there's carpentry. We have lots of different kinds of projects, because the goal is, you know, in most people view jail as a resource sink or kind of a warehouse for lost potential or graveyard for lost potential. And what we do is we try to use this as a resource for the community. So people come out there and they start doing things that end up back in these neighborhoods in New York City. And they can be very strange projects. For example, one winter I had the guys design and build hammocks out of fire hose donated by the New York Fire Department. And they built these hammocks for the leopards and bears and baboons at some of the local zoos. And we called it our enclosure enhancement program. You know? And they loved it. So also, you know, so word travels, and they go back to the cells, back to the jail, and they, you know, when we're recruiting, there's almost like a silent brotherhood, and we do work with men and women, but the brotherhood basically says, you know, the idea is whatever we do out at the greenhouse stays out at the greenhouse, but word spreads, and then, you know, you have a lot of guys just clamoring to get out there, and when the officer yells "flower guys," they don't care.
You know,
they're out.
I'm kind of reminded of everyone was in a situation when they were in school. You had to take some courses. You know, the courses they used to refer to as Mickey Mouse courses.
Right.
Just to get credits. And you just take these courses just to get through the system, as it were. And then somewhere along the way, you realize, hey, this stuff isn't that bad. And you like the course. Do you see that realization with some of the inmates? It's like, okay, I'm going to do this just to do this, and then it's like, hey, this is interesting stuff.
Yeah, I would say about 80% go through that, because they have no idea what horticulture is. They just know it's outside, and they think, well, I'm going to mess around with plants, and what the hell is that? And within 3 days, there's a complete transformation in terms of their connection to nature, in terms of their knowledge, and in terms of their interest. And you know, and then when I tell them, look, you can develop a career in this, and you can make a, you know, within a year after working with me, you know, my goal is to get you a job in Central Park or at the Bronx Zoo or somewhere else making $45,000 a year, and they're, you know, and most of my population is men and women who have been traditionally underemployed. They don't even have a high school degree or a GED. You know, many of them have learning disabilities. Many of them have just been in the drug trades. I mean, 80% of all inmates at Rikers are in for a drug-related crime. And all of a sudden, you know, this offers a future. It basically gives them a workable skill that allows them to think of themselves as a professional.
We are talking with James Giler, who's the director of Greenhouse and Green Team at Rikers Island, and he's also the author of Doing Time in the Garden, Life Lessons Through Prison Horticulture. We're going to take a quick break and continue talking with James here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
And we're talking with James Giler, who is the director of Greenhouse and Green Team at Rikers Island and also the author of Doing Time in the Garden, Life Lessons Through Prison Horticulture. And I'm just wondering, James, these guys and gals, I would assume there's some, are there some women there or just men?
No, women and men, but not together at the
okay.
same time.
These guys and gals who go through this this program, they become one with nature, they get used to the idea of working with plants, and once you get used to the idea of working with plants, you kind of want to be around them. So do these guys have an opportunity to have any kind of indoor plants in their cells?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No. But they are, you know, the reality is they're out. They can be outside from, almost 7-8 hours a day, Monday through Friday. So it's, and then they have their rec period, and then some of them have certain programs like anger management, or they may be going to school. So the day is pretty full, and it's really, again, most of the people we work with are not in for the long time. It's not like the Birdmen of Alcatraz, where they have time to, you know, breed a flock of birds.
Right.
But and also, no one is allowed to take anything into the jail that's not jail issued. Otherwise, it's called contraband, and it's confiscated in the searches that the jail periodically has through the different facilities.
Now, as we alluded to earlier, I understand that the recidivism is the rates are go from about 65% down to 5 to 10%.
Well, our rate of recidivism so far that we've been able to track is about 15%, and the city average is about 67%, and the national average is 65%. So We've been able to show that having something when you are out really does help people, really helps prevent people from coming back. I also must say that in all fairness, you know, we cream up. We are taking the most motivated individuals out of the system. You know, a lot of our, you know, when you look at the jail system in the United States today, you know, we say that Rikers Island is one of the biggest mental institutions in the country now, because mental illness is playing such a critical role in our prison population. So you have a lot of people in the system that are severely medicated, have had many, many years of drug use, and simply are not capable or motivated to really change their lives. So what, you know, in some ways, yes, our recidivism rate is very low, and it's still pretty good compared to even amongst healthy populations. But when you look at the overall population, you have to see, you know, that we are working with the best and the brightest.
Now, the book is called Doing Time in the Garden, Life Lessons Through Prison Horticulture. When did you write the book, and who did you write the book for?
Well, initially, you know, I started getting a lot of requests all over the United States and Canada in terms of how do you develop this program, and what kind of curriculum do you use, and how do you teach people who have never really wanted to be taught before, because most of our students are, you know, never did well in school. That's one of the reasons why they ended up in jail. You know, how do you put something like this together? And so I really thought there was a need for this kind of book, and I started writing it for people who are trying to put together these programs or running these programs, because all over the United States, a lot of the programs are really run by, say, correction officers who don't have a background in horticulture or science or ecology. So I thought this would almost be like a guidebook. But then as I began writing it, and it just came out in October of 2006, but I've been working on it for almost 6 years, and as I began writing it, there were so many beautiful anecdotes that kind of kept emerging that I really combined a personal narrative about the people I was involved with, the inmates and the officers, and what happens when people are released, and the different places we would work in all over the city. So I really kind of wove this personal narrative through almost like a how-to manual. And so it actually has a pretty broad appeal.
How many years has the program been in place at Rikers?
This program since 1996, so 10 years.
10 years. And have you had an opportunity to keep in contact with some of the first people who went through the program to see how it has helped them and how they progressed?
Yes. We try to track people and keep in touch. Going back 10 years, of course, people change. People change their addresses and locations and telephone numbers. It's hard to track. But what we do have is every time you're arrested in New York City, you get what's called a NICID number, and this NICID number is a number that can be traceable. So if you just enter the NICID number through the system, it will tell you whether that person has been rearrested, and if they have been rearrested, what their crime was for.
Now, do you find, after looking at this for 10 years now, you've had quite a number of inmates go through the program, the low recidivism number is great, but besides that, do you have any figures to show how many of those who went through the program have found careers within horticulture and have stayed with it?
Yeah, well, that's one of the trickier things, because job retention is very, it's really a critical point in tracking our students and to really determine a success rate. And as we speak, we're in the middle of really strengthening our long-term tracking system. What happens is, we're a program that keeps expanding, and all of a sudden, years go by and you realize you've been out working and getting contracts and developing other, relationships with people all over the city and partnering and get moving things, and working with the students and building the gardens. And, it's sometimes everything gets past you. So, then you have to bring in, right now we're working with interns from John Jay School of Criminal Justice to actually help us kind of further our tracking program. But that's a kind of a weak point for us right now, is to really come up and determine what happened with people who received a horticultural job, say, 5 years ago, and where they are today. So it's going back and looking at and talking to the employers, and it's going back and finding out why they left that job, if they did leave the job, or were they terminated. And it's a very crucial process in our work.
How much bigger can you see this program becoming?
Well, quite big, because even our green team is expanding dramatically. We're working with more adolescents who are what we call at risk individuals. They haven't been to jail, or they don't have a criminal record, but they have a potential for they've gone through the juvenile delinquency system, and it's been so we're working with youth, and we're working with people coming out from other programs too. So it's really a question of, as we build this outside component, the more contracts we get, the more staff we're able to hire to work with all the different crews, because you can only have so many, crews working around the city. They need, you need to have a supervisor who's a professional, contractor or landscape, a landscape crew.
Was there any hesitation on the part of the people who you deal with contract-wise? About having inmates on their premises, working on their gardens, that type of thing?
Yes. I mean, what we do is we give a formal presentation, and of course we work in these very high-end luxury buildings, and sometimes I have to go up in front of the board and And I actually explain this is who we work with, and this is what we do, and we're a program, and by hiring us, you're supporting a program that helps people change their lives. And I also explain to them that you know, you have a lot of people walking through the building doing work. You have plumbers and electricians and painters and so on. And I said, probably a good majority of them have a criminal record, and you just don't know it. At least with us, you know who you're working with, and we have a supervisor and someone that's working with them all the time.
Very interesting program indeed. The book, again, is called Doing Time in the Garden: Life Lessons Through Prison Horticulture.